CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is, what is today? It's Thursday. It's the 20th of January already. Ooh. Bulela's in the studio in Johannesburg. I am in Cape Town, and Pumi Mashiko will be joining us in just a moment or two. I hope your day's off to an awesome start. What's happening over there, Mbulelo? Everything good?
Moving, grooving, you know what I mean? Just 10% body fat.
Okay, when you say moving, people immediately assume you're like moving house. I had this horrible dream last night. I had this dream that I that I bought another house that I couldn't afford, and that I was suddenly paying for two houses. Almost like if I'd got married and divorced and I had to pay for an ex-wife's house. So I had this dream that I had all of these extra costs added, and I was not in any position to solve the problem, you know?
What a practical dream.
Like, I know, it's so practical. No, in the dream, there was no like emotion around it. It was all purely about numbers. It was so bizarre. What a dream to have in Cape Town. It wasn't even a nice house. It was apparently one of those like investment houses. And then I ended up having to pay for that as well as for the other one. I mean, what a stupid dream.
It's so mundane. It's just like
I know.
I just have to boring. Work.
Right. It's so real. Because exactly.
Dreams are meant to be like, oh, it's unreal. You know, your one's like something that's so real for so many people.
it was so mundane. Anyway, here's Pumi Mashiko, everybody. Hello, Pums.
Good morning, guys.
Happy Thursday.
So, sorry I'm late. Takes a little bit of time to put on this of Ruby Woo lipstick, okay?
No, you look good. You look good. we got the Burning Platform coming up later on, which I'm sure you're going to be excited about. And we're going to be joined by someone who I think I did an hour interview with him not so long ago, Athol Williams. He's all the rage at the moment because the state capture report has named Bain as being one of the main bad guys. And, you know, he worked for them for a while. And Athol Williams is kind of the guy who... He's currently in hiding. Well, he's in exile, certainly, because he says nobody can protect him. He's had no protection from the state. And he says whistleblowers are on their own. So I thought we'd get him on this morning to talk a little bit about Bain and their involvement in the state capture report, which obviously came out last week. And also Gabriel Krause from the Institute of Race Relations is always a goodie to check in on. He's currently petitioning the president to shut down the National Coronavirus Command Council. He says, what's the point of having them anymore? And I kind of agree. You know, it is interesting. Like, this could be Boris's last week on the job, although I don't think they're actually going to fire him. But Boris is realizing with so many other...
Did you see his video?
Oh, my God. It's so bad. Everything about this is just so bad. And I must be honest with you, I wasn't really following it because when all of this broke in... It was probably the first week of January. I was still on leave and I was on holiday and I didn't want to know what was in the news. And so I kind of pretended not to know what was happening there. And it just got worse and worse and worse for him.
It was spectacular. That video is spectacular, especially after coming out saying, I didn't know it was a party.
Yeah.
And then to see him like
having a
get
jaw.
Down with the get down.
Well, you know, if they fire Boris, I don't have a dog in this fight. Like, I don't really care. I think Boris is a shitty prime minister. I liked him most when he was writing for GQ magazine. Remember him doing that? Remember?
He's not getting fired. Mm. Don't worry.
I don't think
Oxford. He's Oxford. That's not how they roll, Gareth.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not how England rolls.
And Bulelo, it's not that stuff, though, because they just don't have anyone else at the moment. That's the big problem.
Look, guys, can we be clear that this the world has gone upside down? Can we just be the premise for everything that happens going forward? It's just like,
it's all changed, right?
Everything, it like have the moment that just says, okay.
But what it did make me think of, because of course, by the I think it's next week, he is going to just dissolve all COVID regulations. You won't have to wear a mask. You won't have to test, you won't have to isolate, you won't have to anything. In other words, open up travel, open up the country, get on with it, carry on as if there was no coronavirus. That's what he said. And he looks like he's going to implement that next week. If he does do that, it's not because he suddenly realized that, like, you know, it's time to do this or the scientists advised him to. It's political survival. And you see, this is exactly what I've been saying about politicians from the get-go. And it goes for Cyril and all of ours as well, is that these people will do whatever it takes to look after themselves and stay on the gravy train. It has nothing to do with your health. It has nothing
also,
to do
Boris
with
the safety of the country. Also, Boris has a brand new little person that he has to, like, feed. He needs his job.
Correct. Needs the money, and he needs that prime minister job so he can say to his kid once, I once upon a time, I was very important, you know? Anyway, let's see what happens. Someone says, Corona's boring, says, how is it acceptable for a prime minister to have hair like that?
Boris is rich, yeah. Guys.
We survived
Boris was rich before he became president. Yeah, people, his dad's an Oxford guy. Boris doesn't come from, he didn't live like us. Boris is, there's a ridiculous photo, you know, so at the school I did an exchange at, he went to the same school. There's a photo of him, Prince Harry. I mean, when your photo's at Eton, you don't just get fired, guys. I know people think the world's changing.
You went there, you went to Eton. You saying I can't fire you? Is there some kind of rule in your contract that says you went to Eton, I can't fire you?
No, because that's only applies in England. You know, different house, different rules. Yeah, yeah. Like in my house, you're not allowed shoes on. Maybe I come to your house. I don't know how you live. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on, what? You're not allowed who?
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, I don't know what you're
asking. To wear shoes.
You're not allowed shoes on.
No, take your shoes off. You're not a cow. You're not a cow in my house with your hooves. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off at the door. Put them
this
there.
This is yet another reason why he's on his own. No one wants to live with this man's stupid rules. He's outrageous. And now that I know you went to the same school
as
Boris.
What kind of floor do you have?
No, I've got normal like tiles in my house, but that's not an abnormal thing. You know, if you go to Europe, that's a pretty standard thing. Take your shoes off at the door. There's a shoe rack there. Put them there. You don't need to make like a mess in my house. It's not that. Well, it's not that weird. It's not that weird.
Well, all right.
So I am going to struggle through this show today.
Why?
Gareth, because of that painting behind you. Like I just want to, like,
it's awful.
I just want to straighten it. Even as it's awful, if it was just
No, but it's more the angle of the camera than it, but it is. I mean, listen, they put all this
stuff
in. It's
driving me crazy.
These hotels, they never put nice stuff on the walls because they have like 500 rooms to do. So I'm sorry.
And also
crap.
People take them.
What?
Do they?
People take things from hotel rooms. Yay. Yay. People take things from hotel rooms.
I didn't think about that.
No, not a painting. You can take slippers. You can take a painting.
People do. Timmy's right. Timmy's right.
Things. People take things from hotel rooms. So they have to make it just like on the border of this is just acceptable and this is nice. Too nice, then they run a risk.
So I'm facing north, which means the sun is rising on my on the eastern side, which is on my right. So I just tried to position it so that we wouldn't have this terrible glare that you sometimes get to, you know, you could at least see where I was. It's a nice enough hotel. I said to Mbulelo, my choice in hotel was completely practical this morning because I've got to go off at 8 o'clock to this event that I'm here for. I'm going to be there at 9. And, that was the primary choice, behind why I chose this. I'm actually really practical and it's kind of a bit boring sometimes because creative people, I think, have a lot more fun. You know, creative people or people who are not so practical would indulge. They'd say, oh, well, let me stay in a hotel on the Atlantic seaboard where I can have that beautiful view and wake up with the waves in front of me and, you know, the sea breeze and all that kind of thing. I'm not here for that. I mean, I can go there. I can go and visit people who I know who live there and I can have that experience. But it's not important to me to wake up with that. Does that make sense? Like I'm only interested in cost and in proximity to important things I have to do. That's it. You could put me in one of those airport hotels, and I know they're shit beyond belief, and many people under coronavirus have had to stay in those. Those were the quarantine hotels. But it's just a place to stay.
Yeah, no, it is just a place to stay, but sometimes it's kind of nice to like open the curtains and see like the shimmering sea.
I know.
The especially sun when you glistening on this, especially when you've been in this crappy Joburg. But listen here, I just want you to know that in the comments over here, Annette is talking about someone who took the curtains from their hotel.
Yes. Room. Oh my God. Boy. Yeah. There she says, I know people who took the curtains.
I'm just saying.
Carl says, my grandmother always used to take the towels. She thought she was entitled to them for some reason. People do, hey?
Wow. That's unreal.
Some people thought the pillows are complimentary as well.
No, man.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see how that painting, if that painting is just the right kind of imitation?
Yeah.
Somebody's like
horrible.
And you also know, right? Because you've paid for the hotel room and you check out at 10. Yeah. By the time they realize that you're gone with whatever, you're gone. Yeah.
But you're not going to fit that picture into your bag. It's too long to fit into a suitcase.
No, but if you're a Slay Queen, for instance, you might take one of those massive travel bags for a weekend. You know what I'm saying, Gareth?
Oh,
so you could if you've got the facilities, if you know what I mean.
So Slay Queens are the ones we got to look out for here.
Yeah, because they've always got the big orange bag where that comes in a set. Like I've seen them at the airport where it's like, you know, it's the big travel one. It's the big travel one. And then the small one that sits on top of the wheelie big travel one. And then their weave is almost touching that big one. Yeah.
Mm.
It's the Louis Vuittons. It's the Louis Vuittons.
Steam trunk.
It's the LV.
Oh, right. It's called the steam trunk.
Those huge ones, they used to wheel them onto like ships for people who were at sea for 3 months on a sort of luxury liner.
That's the one.
Trunks. Yeah.
That's the one.
Chinese people also remove their shoes before entering their rooms, says Kirtan.
Well, it's perfectly normal.
You were saying like rules in your house. I mean, Pumi, do you have any rules in your house? Ridiculous ones like Mbulelo's shoe-off one.
It's not.
There are two people in my house, guys, and one of them is a little person. All the rules. Mm-hmm. All the rules, like turn down the music.
Right.
Don't stay up too late. Keep your feet off the sofas, like off the tables. Because we've got rules. I'm raising a person here.
I mean, my rule is you're not allowed to shit in the downstairs bathroom. That's important. Because if that's the one that all the guests are using, and if I have 10 people there, and you go and you drop a clanger in the downstairs bathroom, then obviously that's going to ruin it for everyone, right? So I think that's a fair rule.
Who is this person that's dropping clangers while visiting people's houses?
You'll be surprised. And it hasn't happened because there's a sign that says strictly no pooing. But everybody laughs the first time, but they follow the rules.
Yeah,
and they're better. They bloody well better, because if I go in there and someone says to me, "Oh, this, you know, that bathroom's in a hell of a state," I'm going to find out who it was.
Yeah, I'm with it. I like it. Yeah. It's a fair rule.
So that's. But I don't have any other rules. Do you have any ridiculous other rules besides your shoe one?
No, I'll call it my house. Does. I don't want people drinking in my house. That's another rule. So you're not allowed.
No drinking.
You want to booze, go somewhere else. No drinking in my house. No. Really? South Africans already drink too much. Like, we need to learn to socialize without alcohol. Come to my house. I don't drink. You don't drink. I don't need that energy in my house. Keep that out there on your boozy street.
What is your house called? The Reichskanzlerei.
Chateau Tinta. Are you kidding me? Right next to the swimming pool.
All right.
It's awesome. No pets. Don't even want
you're right next to the pool. Okay. So I have these friends who are real party animals. I mean, they've got a kid now, so it's slightly less, but they used to be the kind of people who'd have those, you know, 12-hour parties at their house, and they'd go to those, you know, 3-day events and so on. So they really know how to party, and they've actually got an underground, like, party room, which is completely soundproofed. And, they have one other rule.
This.
They don't allow glass glasses. You've got to have plastic cups because they don't want you to break glass around the pool, for example, or they don't want to be sweeping up bits of glass on the floor if someone drops a bottle or a glass container. And so the plastic cups, they just bounce around if you drop them. You know, that's quite a sensible rule too.
Very smart.
That is a very smart rule. But I love that like sunken basement soundproofing. Oh, yeah. This is in my dream house. So years ago when I still used to like make lists of the dream things, two things that would have been in my ultimate dream house. One is a dark room.
Oh, for photography.
For photography, but now you can't even get the chemicals. You can't get film, you can't get chemicals, it's a mess. And two would have been a disco. So also like a soundproof room with a proper disco ball.
Right. And a DJ. Nice. I can see you having a disco room. But Pumi, if your neighbors continue to build walls that collapse, you can just expand over someone else's property and then you can have your disco room.
No. Also, my dream house is far away from neighbors. I don't want to be like so close to people. Like in Joburg, we're too close to each other. Even people with those big sprawling properties, kind of like Sandhurst and all of that stuff.
Still too close.
Still too close.
I actually only discovered this during lockdown, but I have nice neighbors. They don't complain if I do have occasional parties with people there, especially over weekends. I certainly don't do that during the week. They don't complain. They don't make a thing about it. Hmm. And they're not that close that they're on top of you. But even if they were, I've never had an issue with any of them. But I think if you have nightmare neighbors, that's a real problem.
I don't think, except for that one guy.
Hmm. You still haven't figured out what's going on there, right? No changes over December.
No, it's gotten worse. But listen, it's gotten worse. But still hasn't shown face. Hasn't shown his face.
Wow.
What a cheek.
I'm telling you.
What I did discover over December is that he's actually owned that property for like 4 years.
And only started developing it now.
And is only starting to develop it now. Well, now he's not developing nothing. It's just, hasn't even like stopped by to see what's going on.
Soundproof dungeons are a must have, says Steve. No one can hear the screams. Okay. Well done, Steve. Susie says, I'd rather have clean shoes in the house than have people revealing that they have grave digging toes and ugly nails in my house. Susie. Sanela says, Bulelo, I doubt anyone comes to your house with those rules. So do you actually get the chance to enforce these rules? Because I think that's is the peak of your satisfaction. Have you ever actually said to someone, it's not that weird.
Like, if you go to Europe, everybody has a shoe rack. Like, nobody in Europe walks inside the house with shoes on. Like, in sophisticated countries, China, like somebody, I think, said.
Yeah, but they also
are you telling
have,
me 1.7 they, billion people are
they
on?
They also have floors that are like high maintenance, wooden floors, old floors, all of those kinds of things. You have tiles, Mbulelo. You have tiles.
Exactly.
That's not even sophisticated.
So that is not even sophisticated. Just tiles.
You didn't ask me about my carpet that I bought. Not as nice as Gareth's dad's one that I saw on the photo which was supposed to be about the puppy, but I do have a really nice rug that I bought as well. I don't want your clomping.
It's
clogs.
A rug. It's not a carpet. It's not like, listen.
I like the word hooves that you used earlier.
No, but because you don't know, people are monsters. They don't clean their shoes. And now you bring thorns into my house. No. Others stay at home, but it's not that abnormal. People do this everywhere.
People here, also unlike Europe, right? Literally walk about 50 meters between the car and your house. Then what thorns? What thorns are they bringing into your house? What trees are they dragging into your house? Bulelo, you're ridiculous.
Have you seen the state of people's shoes? Like, maybe it's just the people I know, but people are happy to be walking around muddy shoes. Just leave it at the door. Don't worry about it. I got shoe rack for you.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, don't worry about it. There it is. Shoe rack, leave it there. You don't need your shoes in my house. There's no war happening. It's not World War III. You don't have to run around.
So do your three friends come and visit you and take off their shoes and not have booze?
It's not that abnormal. And South Africans drink too much. Stop drinking so much. It's not going to make your life any better. Put the booze down. Come to my house. Let's have a good time. I'll make you a nice cup of coffee.
You've got really high, mighty people agreeing with you. Kim Jong-un says Bulelo has a point.
Thank you. Kim, and he's a
nice
dynasty.
Have you here, Kim. Yeah, exactly.
And look at the company you're keeping.
Right. Very nice. It's not about the type of floor, says Venetia. It's about bringing dirt and getting germs into the house.
That's unreal.
Well, it's amazing. There are actually a lot of people who agree with Bulelo on this. Okay, all right. I didn't know. Anyway, yesterday we got into this whole thing about Crocs and Birkenstocks, Pumi. Do you have any strong feelings about that while we're on it?
No.
No?
The less said, the better. The less said, the better. Really.
Totally agree.
Crocs.
Totally agree. Anyway.
Not going down that hole.
Thanks to to Kim Jong Un, now MKT has four friends, according to Gail.
Oh my god!
All right, very good. Very, very nice.
Yes, Tracy, that iRobot thing. I'm coveting
it. What's the iRobot thing?
It's a vacuum. It's a robot vacuum cleaner.
Oh right, yeah.
That just, you set it up.
The Roomba.
Give it a
time. You talk about the Roomba.
There's a couple of them on the market now. There's a really nice one. Am I allowed to say at home?
It just goes around the house and vacuums all on its own?
Yes, sir.
Like a Roomba is the one you
back
might have
to
seen,
its, yeah? And then goes back to its docking station, you know, so just like, whoa.
If you have children and pets, there's no way that's going to work. They're gonna be terrorizing this thing. It'll never be able to do its job.
Yeah.
No, but you can also set it. It's programmable. Like all robots, guys, it's programmable, right? So you can do it do its business at night or when people are gone to school.
Can you imagine how
Which, by the way,
is?
I'm horrified at the fact that there are still schools out there that are still like on a rotation system.
What is a rotation system?
There are people who are still homeschooling their kids every second day.
I don't know if that's brave or stupid. Listen, I mean, if you've decided to take your kids out of the system completely, that I understand because a lot of people.
You've made that choice, but when the school is still saying, oh no, they're like, taking kids every second day.
That's
only
bullshit.
Half the kids in the class. It's absolute bullshit.
Nonsense. And I mean, with all these rules having been abandoned, that's probably just the teachers and the unions trying to make it easier for the teachers. They're not interested in students.
I heard that last weekend. I'm still a little traumatized by the concept. But there are people who are still homeschooling their own children.
No way. I wouldn't have believed it if you hadn't said it. That sounds incredible.
Awful.
Yeah, that's not good. Like if we're going to do that, parents should have to write math tests as well. Do you know what I mean? Like at some stage, we're back to normal now. Are you capable of actually doing simple mathematics?
Yesterday I went to see a specialist doctor that I'm seeing, and she said to me, she was so excited. Her daughter just passed matric, and she was so excited. The daughter passed matric, the youngest of four kids. She says, "Shoo!" She was very worried about that one. Very worried about that one because this child just took so long to get into everything. And like every other weekend, she had to do maths with this child and the maths. She kept saying, the maths, and had to do extra, like, extra lessons and sit all weekend with her. She just took so long to understand everything. I was just like, yeah, but you're also like, you're clearly the smart person. You were like the maths and science kid, right?
She's right.
And the daughter just wants to be a graphic designer. So I can see the clash between the two of them. Uh-oh. But she was just like, whew, that child and the maths, it had me worried there. So everybody's worried about high school maths.
Look, we mustn't, Bulela, why did you go, when Pumi said graphic designer? Because I was seeing the conflict between her and the mom, but I mean, we need graphic designers, right? We need more.
That's
of those
what people. I said to her. I said to her, actually, like a designer, designer, graphic, UX, UI, designers are a future-proof job at the moment.
Absolutely.
Future-proof career.
Those people who bring together that utilitarian stuff and the beautiful stuff. I mean, that was the whole reason that some people like Apple products, for example, is because they manage to come at it from both sides. They both look and feel and approach us from there's something tactile about it, and there's something beautiful about it. There's something aesthetically pleasing about it, but it's also really, really functional. And that is because they've got good design.
Absolutely. Have you been on a crappy website?
Makes you very angry. Sure.
But ironically, you need the math student to actually make a nice website, because to make things work, you need a programmer. Yeah,
but again, Bulelo, it's not either or here. You have to have both.
I agree. And I keep telling people who have this argument, mathematics is the height of creativity. Like, it is the most creative thing when you do it properly. I'm realizing lately that people had an option not to do maths, because in my household, my father would have slapped the color out of my skin. Come out to
people have an option.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize
not to do
that.
Maths. Like, I'm not to do maths it. At all.
Yeah, and they also have the option of taking, what do they call it, like maths literacy.
I thought that was the option. I thought the maths literacy was the option. Mm-mm. I didn't know you could have a no maths option.
I think you can have a no maths option.
No.
Yeah. Look, and Bulela, we're not disagreeing with you. I mean, the maths part, we are on your side on. Like, that's essential, and we need those people. Problem is, very few people can, right? I mean, people are not lining up around the block to do mathematics, science, engineering, and technology. They're not, even though we'd want them to. That's why those people are in such demand. But what we are saying is that you also need the other side. You need the designers. You need the graphic designers. You need the ergonomic designers. You need all those people so they can take what the maths people have done and make it even better. Bulela, it's where the human being interfaces with it.
Do you know about a badly designed sofa? Or a badly designed chair? Like in the waiting room of some, and the chair, no way. Designers are important. All kinds of designers are important.
Look, if you have too much on the one side, then everything works, but it looks and feels like shit. And on the other side, if you have just too much creativity and not enough practical consideration, then what you have is something that is magnificent looking, or it feels really good, but it does nothing useful. It's just a work of art. So, you know, you've got art on the one hand, like just pure art. Like, this is just for you to look at, or just for you to touch, or just for you to hear, or just for you to see.
Or feel.
Whatever. Yeah. Or feel. And then on the other hand, you've got something that is purely mechanical. It just does a job. Like, no one who is working on like a massive printing press in a, you know, and I'm talking about things that print on t-shirts or whatever, in a factory. No one's looking at that going, well, that could be more beautiful. They're like, no, make it as functional as possible, and don't give it any consideration on the beauty side of things, except that you don't want someone's arm to fall into it and, you know. But it's practical as hell. And the best products are the ones that go exactly in the middle of that, where you can have maximum on both, you know? Anyway, badly designed stuff made in China, says Freddie. Well, you know, you're being unfair, but yeah, a lot of it is. No, it's true. Like, a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff is just like, churn this out. David says, look up Benjamin Cowan. He does incredible things with maths and trading charts. It's mind blowing.
Yeah. See, it's so tough to explain to people, because I know when you say mathematics, people go the either way. Until you, so in varsity, I did something called applied maths, and then it really gets enjoyable, actually. Like, it's a really fun thing, and it is an exercise in creativity, but you got to get past, because you got to get the fundamentals that people had in high school, and which I hate in high school as well. And then I got to varsity, and I thought, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I wish I'd taken it seriously earlier, because it is creative.
It's probably extremely. A function of the way that they teach it. It's also probably a function of the way that it is taught or the people that are teaching it, you know, so kind of in high school and in the foundation phase and in high school, the way that people are taught the subject is also one of the things that makes it a hurdle.
That's 100% right.
But also there's also a level of when you get into a certain level of something and your aptitude grows, something becomes more enjoyable because you start understanding how manipulated. But my other point was going to be, which is maybe gilding the lily, is that everything is mathematics anyway. Creativity is maths. Art is maths. Mm-hmm. Like everything you do in your life.
It's about ratios and problem solving. It's about all of those things. And we get, that's why I hate high school. That's why I hate high school. Like, high school makes, no, because everything is like, for some reason, everything in high school is geared towards this big exam that you have to pass. Everything in high school is a hurdle, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is not enjoyable. All of it, even science and biology and all of the really, because it's about getting through this thing, and not so much about kind of take all of these things and make a decision about what you're going to do. And that's why varsity is so amazing. That's why varsity and tertiary is so amazing, because when you get to tertiary, presumably what you're studying is something that you love, something that you have an aptitude for, something that you can
remember
living in your life forever.
Exactly to your point, Bumi. I remember, and actually this will back Bulelo up as well about maths being creative. I remember all the way up until matric, my final year at high school, I hated maths and I did really very poorly. I mean, I was maybe a, 55% pass mark for much of high school. And then suddenly matric, I had a teacher who actually, took me through some basic stuff and said to me, no, this is what you're missing. And it was like literally one or two lessons and it clicked. And then from there on, I loved it. I loved playing with the numbers, equations. I mean, my God, I used to do them for fun. Now that's about as nerdy as you can get, but I was doing for fun. I was creating and making up my own equations just for, shits and giggles. I was having the best time with it. And by the end of matric in that year, I obviously had done a whole lot better and I was much, much better. Mm-hmm. Algebra, geometry, trigonometry. All of that stuff. I think we even did some basic calculus. I was into it in a big way, but it depended on the teacher, and people do. They teach it really badly sometimes. And also you get this idea in your head, oh, I'm not good at maths, and then nothing can save you. You know, the minute you believe that you're not good at something, it's done.
100%. So also, I mean, on a bigger sort of geopolitical level, I do worry that, I guess it's a Western individualist thing, is that we're leaning a lot into it's not fun, so they don't have to do it. That's nonsense. Mm. Like, you don't get that option in South Korea and China, and that's why they're winning. No. You're asking 5-year-olds and 8-year-olds what they want to do. Well, they got no clue what's going on.
Everyone should have to do it because it's not fun.
You should do it. You should actually force, because to win in life, so I've been in very few winning environments and I always use sport because it's the only thing I've ever been half decent at, is that you actually have to force people to win in life. So participating and winning is not the same thing. And if you want to win, you have to be forced, because if you leave people to themselves, they just want to be comfortable. Oh, maths, that's a bit hard.
This is true for everything. You light a fire under someone's ass and suddenly they do a much better job, you know?
Yeah. And, Pumi, to your point, the school thing is such an interesting thing. I was talking to somebody the other day about, for our international listeners in South Africa, we have such an idiosyncratic schooling system. If you go to certain schools, there's a good chance you're going to end up running Investec. And I went to a big bank the other day and I walked around, because I'm 35 now and people at my level are starting to get into the douchebag jobs. You know what I mean? And I looked around and I thought, wait, I know that girl. She was at X school down the road from me. I know that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I now am starting to get an appreciation of what they were trying to do at the school I went to, you know, versus other schooling experiences. Is I get it. I get why every day was a reckoning at my school. This is what they were trying to prepare me for. And it's interesting what you were saying about certain schools and catering to children is that it's going to be so tough if you're not in that environment from 14 to join that environment when you're 28. You know, you always hear people say, I get there and it's a boys club. That's because both guys went to St. John's and Hilton. They get each other. Oh, birds of a feather. I like you. Brew, come join the big team, and you get the work that challenges you. It was a really interesting observation.
And now we've come full circle because this is back to Boris Johnson, right? And
exactly.
There's so many people in that system who can relate to him, and he can relate to them. So anyway, we do have to look at a few headlines this morning. So let's do a quick.
Do we?
Yeah. All right. So first of all, this is quite interesting. We were talking about designers. And a famous man called Andre Leon Talley, who is the former Vogue creative director. He died at age 73. Very famously, this man was an incredible fashion journalist. His career spanned 5 decades. He died on Tuesday in New York. A statement,
and it was completely shunned by Anna Wintour and Condé Nast.
Really?
Oh, my God. They had a huge falling out. Like, Condé Nast is probably the only person. I haven't seen a single thing about his passing and kind of Anna Wintour.
Okay, well, I didn't know that because she was asked to comment and said she remembered him fondly as magnificent and erudite and wickedly funny. In a statement shared by the magazine, she said that Talley, who was also a judge on America's Next Top Model, had inspired generations of people to work in the fashion industry. She signed off by calling him a brilliant and compassionate man who was generous and loving to me and my family for many, many years.
So after their big fallout, he never kind of got fired. He just got replaced and he just got ignored into, oh my God, there was a huge thing. He was losing his apartment or something like that 2 years ago or something.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that. But a very famous man and someone who was, I must be honest with you, I've never really paid much attention to the fashion world. So I'm not the guy to answer any questions about this. Pumi, you probably know way more.
Larger than life.
But he was a big man, right? He was just towered over everyone else. There's a very good picture here. I'll see if I can share this with you of him with, Whoopi Goldberg. And the two of them are walking. And it's always these walking pictures that are the best ones because then you can see the height. He was an enormous man, and he's wearing this almost looks like a priest's robe. Let me see if I can.
He wore a lot of kaftans. He wore a lot of those kaftans.
Let me show you a picture of this guy, Andre Leon Talley. But I mean, the fashion world is incredible. How you talk about design and how they all worship each other. I mean, if you're a big deal in the fashion world, you're a big, big deal. That's what this guy
is. They are a weird bunch.
Yeah,
very weird bunch.
The problem with Anna Wintour.
Yeah, here's the picture of him. This is Andre Leon Talley. There we go, with Whoopi Goldberg. Big man, kind of interesting hair.
Yeah, he looks fabulous. Like his whole look is just fabulous. For those listening on the podcast, like even his face, I can almost hear the attitude coming off his face, if you can imagine. Like he's got that you know what I mean, like his face looks like it's saying the whole time.
There's a fantastic picture that was doing the rounds yesterday, which was taken by Andy Warhol of him with Grace Jones. There's a fabulous picture. Like Grace is on the phone and he's in the background and it's just
okay.
But that's the kind of, that's who he was. He was that guy.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe I must do a little more research on this guy because all I know is now that he's died, that he was this tremendous human being. But then you know, again, fashion is not something I know a lot about. In other news, there's a new WhatsApp update. Oh boy. You know, there's always, so it allows you to react to messages with emojis, but I thought we could already do that.
No, I'd imagine, like, you know, on Facebook, it's when you do an emoji and it pops up on the screen. Like if I look at a story of yours and I say like it's a thumbs up, that comes up on your screen instead of just being an emoji. It, like, if I say like, it pops up on your screen or like all over your screen.
Well, apparently they will allow iOS users to react to messages with an emoji to express emotion in a similar vein to Facebook, as you say, Bulele, although the erection feature is not quite available yet to manage notifications for reactions. I don't know what that means. What is the erection feature?
I don't know.
What?
That's what it says. This is the story.
Are you reading that right?
Yes.
There's an erection feature?
Yeah. Well,
sorry. I think that must be on the article. It must be a reaction. Because I promise you, it says erection. This is from IOL. I'm gonna screenshot this and show you because it says this is from IOL, right? Yeah. And it actually says erection feature. And I'm sure they meant reaction, but no one spell checked that. The editor should be.
Is this Iqbal's IOL?
This is Iqbal's IOL. Let me just show you. This is hilarious.
Reading stuff from Iqbal's IOL.
Well, sometimes they cover some interesting stuff. I mean, I wouldn't take their political news seriously. Okay, look here. Here's the article as I'm reading it. Do you see there? It says, although the erection feature, and I'm sure it's meant to be reaction. Right. Just so you know, I'm not making it up.
The article was written by Bang Showbiz, just so you
Bang
know.
Bang Showbiz, right.
It is to be excused. It's probably a 21-year-old with purple hair.
All right. Well, have you downloaded a new update for WhatsApp? Because I haven't. Maybe I should just check if there is one.
Now that I know there's an erection feature, you better bloody believe it's the first thing I'm doing straight after the show.
All right. So you are correct, Bulele. Thank you very much for clearing that up. It's the same thing that you get on Facebook. Very, very good. I haven't done any updates, but I'll let you know if there's an erection feature. All right. How about that? Now, listen, I know that it's boring to talk about the weather, and I know that we've discussed already what this crazy December weather has been like. It's been raining nonstop. I mean, again, this week we've had even more of it.
But we have to talk about the floods. That's more than
This is it. So in Ladysmith, of all places, I don't know if you saw the news over the weekend. I mean, not over the weekend, but over yesterday and the day before. But Ladysmith's pretty much been underwater. And I mean, it's not the wettest part of the world. The rivers are in flood. One child, I think, was washed down and may have drowned. It's been a horrible situation. Schools have not opened because there's such damage going on. And apparently the Sipimfundo Secondary School in Ladysmith has resumed. Finally, it's 2022 academic calendar. The roof of several classrooms were completely destroyed by the storms, which also damaged business premises and left people destitute in the town of Ladysmith. Unreal.
Those images are insane. You know, when I saw the first images, it looked like, you know, when you see in America when they've had like hurricanes, like Katrina, where the news crew is on a boat down the main street. Yes. This is what the images look like. This is what the images coming out of Mnambithi looked like. And
unbelievable.
And then I also saw a video of four boys jumping off the bridge into this fast flowing river. And
I
think that's where one of those boys, I think it's one of those boys that got swept away.
No, you're joking.
Oh my God.
I think it's one of those boys that got swept away. Because that video was like heart stopping. And they like having the time of their lives jumping into that river. And I was just like, these kids, this is courting serious danger here. I think it's one of those boys that got swept away.
Horrible. Jeez. Horrible. You know,
and
these
Centurion?
Rivers.
How's Pretoria there? Because Pretoria also floods all the time.
Apparently, look, we had a lot of rain on Monday. But after I left yesterday, I was like, I'm in Cape Town now. The weather's good. Whatever happens, happens.
You're in the heat wave.
Yeah. Hey, it's going to be very warm down here this week. So yeah, heat wave, people are talking about, you know, record temperatures and so on. So I'll let you know.
Seems good for you.
The crazy weather, whether it's the rain or the sun, is following me wherever I go. Okay. So
are you going to stay for the weekend, Gareth?
Yeah, I'm going to stay until Sunday.
Oh, smart. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
This is interesting. The motion of no confidence in the mayor of Kanaland, who's a guy called Jeffrey Donson, and his deputy, who's Werner Meshwa, succeeded on Wednesday morning, follows an urgent council meeting which was held in the Western Cape municipality in the light of their criminal records. One of them was convicted of rape, the other fraud. Their election to public office with the support of ANC councillors was widely condemned, and a motion of no confidence was brought by council members last week. Rog Albertus of the Kanaland Independent Party wrote a letter to the speaker, and the letter's been seen. According to the letter, motions of no confidence are being filed because how can you have a rapist and a fraudster as your mayoral candidates, your councillors?
No, fraudster I can understand. Fraudster, it's part of the ANC. Come on now. Let's not be ridiculous. Why is a rapist even part of our society?
By the way, it is correct to call him a rapist because he has been convicted of rape. The other guy has been found to have committed fraud. So then this is not something which is in the air or a maybe. These are charges that have already been leveled at these people. They have been convicted of them.
Convicted and served?
Yeah, I believe so, yes. So, step aside rule. But isn't it amazing, though, that these guys have such thick skins that they have to be told? They have to be told, like, you would think a rapist would know better than to run for public office. And also, what kind of people would vote for a rapist?
Who votes for him? Why has this person not been run out of town? He should be like so ashamed. He should not be able to leave his house because the community should shun him.
And that's a great question. What does that say about us that the guy got to office? That's a great point. Mm-hmm. That's disturbing.
Yeah.
That's us.
Apparently, Carl says, Corona's boring, says it's called Ladysmith because no one could say the woman's name. I think it was Esmeralda. Oh, my God.
That's excellent.
Anyway, horrible people in this place called Kanaland. I'm not even sure what that is.
Somewhere in the Western Cape.
Yeah, but in the northern part of the Western Cape. It's one of those near like Graaffreinet or something like that, you know, places with like 10 people in them. Anyway, 5 bodies with gunshot wounds were found in El Dorado Park. How's that? They say mass shootings are nothing new in that part of the world. On Wednesday, they found 5 bodies in Freedom Park near the Golden Highway. All the bodies were found with bullet wounds in them. This is the second mass shooting in the area in recent weeks. Police are appealing for anyone with information to come forward. Isn't that scary?
What?
Eldos, what's happening? Yeah, Eldos, what's going on there, guys?
Who are these people that have is this like the mom's John Wick situation?
Sounds like.
Oh, yeah, maybe are they killing gangsters or it would be interesting to know. That's a great point.
Might be gang warfare.
Five people were gunned down, and like no outcry.
Everybody's
no
like
community. Everybody's like, whatever.
Jeez. Unbelievable. So I don't know. We'll look into the. Well, look who ran the country into the ground. Follow the leader. Those pieces of shit are feeding the community with drugs and a lot more. My friend lives there.
Okay. Sure.
I don't know if Michelle's talking about Kanaland or if she's talking about Eldos, but either way, it's not great.
Whichever one.
Yeah. What's crazy is it's applicable to both.
Apparently, it's between Oudtshoorn and Montague, Kanaland. There we go.
Sure. Useful. Nothing.
There's always someone smart. There's always someone smart listening to us who knows these answers. Thank you. It's very scary though that you could live in a neighborhood where like 5 people are gunned down and you know
and then like the neighborhood just continues.
yeah, everybody just keeps on going, just do their thing. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So those are some headlines for you for this morning. We've still got the burning platform on the way a little bit later on. Let me quickly throw forward to tell you about an interview that we'll be playing at 8 a.m. today. Fiona Dawson, who I mentioned to you before, is a writer, a producer, an activist, and a film director. She's had an Emmy-nominated LGBTQ documentary, which is called Trans Military, and it's won numerous awards. And she's just written a book called Are Bisexuals Just Greedy? So she's exactly the person I wanted to talk to unpack and cover all the complex and, of course, cancelable questions that are in her book. And it's amusing and informative. You can hear it all at 8 a.m. live today, or you can get the podcast later. And the video will be up on our YouTube channel, too, so you can actually see Fiona and I having that conversation. And I think you'll enjoy it. She's cool. She's got a great sense of humor, doesn't take herself too seriously. You can ask her just about anything, and I did. And she attempts to tell us important things, like, for example, what is the difference between bisexual and pansexual? Is there a difference? She also answers this one. If you are a straight cisgender male and you have sex with a trans woman, does that mean that you're gay?
What? Say complex that again, stuff, please. Right? Read, I know, read that is question complex. Again. If you are a...
Your head wants to explode. All right. So if you are a straight cisgender male and you have sex with a trans woman, in other words, used to be a man, right, in our traditional understanding, does that make you gay?
Why are you gay?
I have to unpack this and figure out the answer. Well, you'll have to listen.
One of my all-time favorites. They spent like 3 minutes between, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. The height of ridiculousness of wanting to talk about what people do in their bedrooms.
I know. It's so pointless. And I brought that up with her, but you'll have to listen to the interview to hear more. It's very good. The Burning Platform is coming up next. Stick around for that. We have a whole lot more heading your way. And you can also get hold of us in the comments if you'd like to drop a comment and tell us what you're up to and what you think this morning about whatever comes up on the Burning Platform. And man, is there plenty to discuss. I mean, especially in respect of, you know, the state capture report, and Athol Williams will be our guest this morning. Gabriel Krauser wants to have the NCCC dissolved, the National Coronavirus Command Council, says there's no point in that being there anymore. And by the way, I mean, like, when last did we actually see Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma doing anything? Remember last year she was pretty much, sorry, 2020, she was around a lot. Last year we didn't see much of her. Now we don't see her at all. When last did you see her on TV or, you know, in an article or on some...
At a prayer meeting. Wherever.
Like, when last did you see her? It's been a long time. Am I wrong?
No. You're not. People are smoking again.
A couple of things. some people are saying here, when it comes to those questions that I asked Fiona, you'll have to listen to her answer. But Jared says, that's just gay with extra steps. does it matter if you know that he was a man or a she was a man or whatever?
Yeah.
And then Steve says once a week does not make you gay. Everybody has their rules. All right. Excellent. Very, very good. Okay. So lots of stuff still to come. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.